All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
And I hear the first officer call out. And then the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy sh**, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like, everything went quiet. And I could hear the ringing in my ears and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything that, or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth and one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. This next guest that we have wanted to remain anonymous, so I did editing where she made a few slips and omitted the names and things like that. So, but anyways, she has really good stories. We start out talking about UFOs, and then we kind of move into spirits and stuff after that. But one of the stories I always liked, I heard when I was actually younger, is about this, the first story she tells about the UFO that chased them, and there was an elder with them, and the elder got mad at that UFO. I always really liked that story. But, you know, I always feel good when people want to come on to the podcast and share their stories. It's more like this feeling of being honored, you know, to be able to capture their stories and their real life experiences, and I really appreciate it. I appreciate the people that come on. I really do. And you know, because for one, I really like ghost stories and stuff like that, but at the same time, I know that they get to preserve their stories, so it just feels good to be able to be part of that. One of my things I've always really wanted to do was bring my equipment to one of the powwows, you know, like the Indian Days in Browning or Heartbeat Indian Days, and be able to just tell stories over the campfire there, and that would be really cool to actually capture that and share it with you guys, because I mean, the stories that are told are just like, it's, how would I say it? It's unscripted. It's totally just off the cuff. One story reminds somebody of their story, and that reminds another person of their story, and it just takes a life of its own. And there have been times where, I mean, one Heartbeat Ending Days. Me and my wife's cousins, like her brother, their daughter has a lot of really good stories. One of these times I'll try to get her on the show and see if she can share some of her stories. But one night, just her and I, she was about, what, 16 at the time? I don't remember, but she was pretty young. And I just sat there at their fire. Everybody just went to sleep, and me and her were just telling stories right outside their teepee. And we're just, you know, their folks were just right there, and my camp was just behind that, and it was nice just sitting there. I mean, well, I guess what I'm saying is it can happen with any any person that has stories, we all really get into them, and they just kind of feed off of each other, and we can go pretty long like that. I've done a few of these types of stories where we were trying to recreate that on TikTok, TikTok Live, and we just went around and telling stories. I mean, I think the biggest group that was there one time was Ethan Running Crane and Myron, a guy from Wind River Reservation, and I. Us three just told stories to each other. It could have went longer, but we kind of stopped it about an hour and a half in. And I would say altogether there must have been about, around 400 people listening in. But we were getting really good comments to the whole thing. People were, you know, saying, one more, let's hear another one. Things like that. So it was fun, and that's something I'd like to actually try to capture one of these days. I've been trying, and for some reason it just never worked out. So I figure it's not meant to be until, well, I guess it is. So hopefully this year I'll be able to actually do that. That would be really fun. And another kind of scenario I envision too is just having, like, say, my brother, my sister, multiple people on one recording at once doing that same thing, just telling stories like that. That would be really fun. So on Facebook, here's a group called Original Ghost Stories from the Res, and the lady on there contacted me. Her name is LaVon Rodriguez, and she wants to do a live podcast, and that'll be coming out. You know, we're going to be doing that next, this coming week sometime. I mean, I have a pretty busy work schedule during the week, but I'm going to make time in the evening to go ahead and get that done with her. So that ought to be pretty fun. I don't know how I can notify people that we're going live. I'll have to figure that out, or how that works. I'm really not too sure. But that's something she wanted to do with me. She reached out and I said, yeah, let's do it. There's another group on TikTok called the Spirit Talkers. They wanted to have me write down some stories and send them in to them as well. There's this lady that sent in a story about chewing black bones and how he's got his name. I've been trying to find out how he got his name, because I haven't really got to the bottom of it. But for this listener out there, this is directed toward you. As far as I got with that, without telling your story, because I'd like to just read it someday, but without telling your full story, where I got with that was, it probably wasn't chewing black bones that was involved with your incident up there at the campground in by St. Mary's Lake there. It probably wasn't him. There's a known, I guess, spirit that's around there that's kind of bad. Might have been that. And sorry to be cryptic, y'all, and, you know, very kind of hush-hush about this, but I just wanted to update her with that. Because someday I'm going to read her story and what happened to them. It was pretty chilling at that campground. And she's a Blackfeet that lives off the res. They're going to school back east somewhere. So, yeah, just a quick update on that. And a lady from NPR, the National Public Radio, contacted me as well. And she has a lot of stories. I mean, they do a podcast where there's a lot of stories that people tell, like the, you know, first-hand account stories. And that podcast is called Spooked. I've been listening to it at work. There's some really good ones in there. There's one podcast in particular that I direct y'all toward, and I'm having a hard time remembering it. Oh, jeez. The podcast is about this kid, and his mother and sister. It's a really It's a really good one, but it's kind of sad. And for the life of me now, I just can't remember the name of it. Oh boy. Anyways, once I figure out the name of that, I'll go ahead and update you guys. Sorry to leave you hanging like that. But anyways, you guys can go check it out yourself. It's called Spooked. And I've been listening to it on Spotify. But I'm pretty sure they have it on other platforms as well, like Apple Podcasts and things like that. So I'd go check that out if I were y'all. And all the listeners that have come from Strange Familiars, I'd like to give a shout out to you guys. Thanks. I love that community, Strange Familiars. They're all very, how would I say it, informed with the paranormal world and all of the stuff that it entails. They know a lot. That group, you know, largely non-native group, but they've really impressed me as far as their knowledge and understanding of things. They're all really smart. Really smart people. Sometimes I feel like I'm out of my class with them. they're really smart, but they've all had a lot of the listeners in the Discord group and the people he's had on his podcast are all really good. And Timothy Renner himself, he's such a pleasant you know, guy to be around. Very respectful, very smart. He's just a good guy. Him and his wife Allison, they're really good people. So a special shout out to them, and thanks for kind of showing me the way, Tim. Appreciate it. And going back to this podcast, those UFOs, can somebody in the comments, if you know, why is it, or I mean, if you have a theory or an idea of why is it that some people see those UFOs and other people don't? Some people see those star people, those aliens, and other people don't. Can somebody kind of tell me? Because I've always kind of wondered that. I haven't seen them yet. And I look, but I really don't know why I've never seen a UFO. I mean, honestly, and I've never actually laid my eyes right on Bigfoot either. But I know that, you know, the stories, they're too many to discount. So my mind's open to it. I'm pretty sure that the UFOs are real. And, you know, because a lot of people have seen them. And I'm dead set on knowing that, you know, Bigfoot actually exists because of the things I've seen, like the signs and all of the, you know, footprints and things like that I've seen myself. I just can't discount that or write it off. So, yeah. But if anyone can kind of tell me what their theory is on as to why people don't see those UFOs and others do, I'd kind of like to know or hear your thoughts. Because I've heard Tim talk, like Timothy Renner, he would talk and he would say sometimes there'd be a group of people all together, like say five people, and three of them would see the UFO and the other two can't. That's really strange to me. It's really strange. And I would just like to hear the theories and people's thoughts on that. So in the comments, wherever you can drop them, be it on YouTube or Spotify. Yeah, just let me know. Oh, in the Spotify thing, that's why I kind of did a small question and answer thing with the comments there on the previous podcast, is because you can't respond directly on there. And you can't on Apple Podcasts either that I know of. So that's where I kind of wanted to get back to people on there. So I guess without any more messing around, let's get right into the show. So that story that I remember you saying about that when that UFO chased you guys, what happened there?
Oh, this was, let's see, I'd say it was in 1975. Would have been in December. Christmas, let's say, about Christmas Eve, yeah, because we went down Christmas shopping in Great Falls. took in the movie, and then we got ready and got back on the road. There was about 5-6 of us together in that car. Anyway, it was just dark. It was like 12 o'clock at night on a cold winter night. It's all dark and cold, but anyway, we coming back and we got on that Valier Road, drove that, got right almost to the end. We're going to jump on the Birch Creek Road and jump on the road to come in. So anyway, we got there and just lit up like it was daytime again. We could all just look at each other and see each other. It was just like sitting in the daytime. Everything just plum lit up. And anyway, one of the driver, he owned a car, and that's when those big fancy cars come out, and they were fast. Like this one went 160 miles an hour. And when that light lit us up, there was a light above us that lit us up and made it like daylight in that car and scared us all. And he was the driver, and he was going that 160, and that thing was just right on top of us. And, well, we couldn't see it because, you know, he didn't have, you know, it was just right on top of us, you know, on top of us. We couldn't see up because the light was so bright. But when we pulled in there in Big Badger, pulled into that house where we was going, one of few of those people lived there, so dropping them off and their Christmas presents and stuff, and that light followed us all the way to their house, and it kind of went off to the, I'd say, like, still going towards Browning on 89, and it just stopped on top of that big hill there, and it just over there, that's when we all got to see that it was a great big round disc. It just looked like like that movie E.T., that disc that's on there. That's how it looked. But, yeah, and the lights going round and round on the outside of it, and it was an elder in with us. You know, we brought her down shopping, and anyway, we forgot her because we was all scared. And, you know, we thought everybody could just, you know, just left them on their own. And we all ran in that house, and Aaron looked out the window, and she was still out there, that old lady. The guys ran back out there, and they got her, and they got her out of that car and stood her up, and they put her fist up to that big flying saucer or UFO or whatever it was. It was just great big disc on top of that hill, and she put her fist up. You folks got your dirty nerve for scaring us. That's all she said to them, and they stayed there by me, but they got her to the porch, and then it took off. It's gone like that.
She got mad at it.
Yeah, she was so angry, and that, you know, she's an elder, really an elder, at the time, that lady that was in there. Yeah. Jeez, and then there was another time, too. Oh, right after that, we went ice fishing. You know, when it's winter, that's that same winter. Yeah, get cabin fever, nice sunny day, everything. So we had some friends, and they had a great big deuce four-wheel drive van. So we all loaded up in that and headed for Four Horned Lake. Fished there all day, packed the lunch, and just go to sleep, lay down and go to sleep in that van. And all the guys were drinking their beer and telling stories, and, you know, just come and warm up every once and again and go back out there. And I got to be kind of late, I'd say about 10:30, almost about 10:30, and we kept hollering and getting mad, you know. Oh, you get just very tired, don't want to be there no more, it's not fun no more, so. We wanted to go home, all the wives wanted to go home, and they wanted to, you know, still sit there. Jeez, was getting mad, and next thing, that whole lake just lit up. It, oh, same way, just like there was an airplane or something that wrecked underneath there or something. The whole lake just lit up. Oh, that sure scared those men. They sure dove in their cars, and away we went, just flying out of there. And next day, we go back out there because, you know, we're going to, like, call the cops or whatever if we go back out there, you know, because his vehicle was, like, the only one that could really get out there. The snow was about 4 feet deep in there. But anyway, we was going to go back out there. That was our plan. Go back out there and see if there was an airplane wrecked in that water. And here we drove pretty well down there. You know, he could get way down there. And my goodness sakes, there was no hole in there at all. So where the lights came from under that whole lake, I don't know. The whole thing lit up. Sure scared the heck out of those guys. They sure jumped the board and we went flying out of there. And the water, that ice is still frozen over. There's no tracks, nothing, just the oars from the night before.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then, after that, that was how we went to work. We got hired. I'm a construction worker. Anyway, got hired to do a log cabin way out north. So anyway, I was out there doing the log cabin. And anyway, there, it's like in the middle of the night, I'd say. I don't know what time it was, but anyway, it's really dark out there too, and it was summer, like in July or something, and right after Indian Days, I think we got that job. So it'd been around maybe in July 20th, around that area, and around that time. But anyway, I was out there doing the floors and stuff, and went to bed, and when it got dark, you know, we just go to bed and go to sleep. And so anyway, we did that, and then it lit up again, just like it was daylight. And I said, there's a big light, a great big light out there, and it looks like, I don't know, that looks like they're coming. There's people coming, walking over here. And he said, they won't bother you. Just go back to sleep. They don't belong here. But I was scared, and I just put my face in his back and covered my head with that blanket. But at that time, then these guys came in, and they were big guys. I'm like five, I'd say. I'm about five, and the guys that come in that play that house that from that big light, they were about my head, because I looked up and my head was like, I could see their belt, like, on the top of my head. You know, the belt, they had a belt on. Mm-hmm. And that's how, they were really tall, tall people, but they didn't talk. They just, I don't know, like, they could read your mind or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, there was no talking, no nothing, but They took us out. I mean, we walked out the door, and they could walk through the walls and still walk, hold our hands and walk us out to that light.
Oh, weird.
That's all I remembered for the longest time. We woke up, we was on our lumber that we stacked.
Oh.
Our legs were all swollen up like we had sat for that long, like you take a long bus ride and your legs swell up from no circulation.
Yeah,
that's how our legs were.
The heck? And that light was just on the ground?
Yeah, it was, you look out the window, it was just a big bright light there.
Huh.
And that's where those big tall men came from. There was like two in the light, and two of them came in the house and took us to that light.
Oh.
Yeah. And then after that, we moved right by Subway. And right there, light and firecrackers. And here that flying saucers, they're just up and down the alley. And it, like those big bottle rockets go up in the air. Oh, it will go zoom past, go to the church and sit on top of the church and just over there. And then it would zoom past us again and go on top of the snowshed hill and sit there and just over there. It just kept making that pattern. Just the Catholic Church, every time we'd light one of those great big bombs that went up in the air and blew up. And we just forget about lighting those, and we start just chasing, looking back and forth, running up and down the alley so we could see where that flying saucer's over in there. We just forgot about lighting fireworks after that.
Jeez, that's weird. Hey, going back to that, where those things brought you guys to that light, was there any time lost? Did you guys have...
2 days.
Whoa,
2 days.
2 days.
Yeah, we finished our job 2 days ahead of time.
Whoa.
Yeah. 2 days. We either advanced or got left behind, but we should have been out of there 2 days before, you know.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, that company come out there, they kind of come out there, the owner come out to check on us. Our job, we was done 2 days before that.
Weird.
And we were... Yeah, we lost 2 days.
Do you remember doing the job?
Yeah, we were still doing the job, but our job was done 2 days prior to that.
But you don't
and
remember?
We didn't do our... I mean, we our lumber, we woke up laying on our lumber.
Weird.
But, yeah. But our job was done. It was done. The flooring was done. Everything was done. Just a couple of screws we got in an argument about that was placed wrong and where the kitchen was going. And said, oh, who did it? I don't know. I don't know. I always don't know, man. But, I believe I'm such a believer in God. Maybe God coming out does.
Well, that's weird. Jesus makes me wish it'd come and
help you. Maybe that's why you hear all those noises. Maybe you gotta ask him.
No, I'm kidding.
Just hang around. Give me a hand.
No, that would be too much. I don't think I could handle that.
Everything just coming together.
Oh, got a big old fat paycheck. I don't even know how you earned it. Jeez.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I remember a time you were talking about a cigar-shaped UFO, too.
Oh, yeah, we're going to college at the time, and over in Havre, going to college there, going for BA degrees. So anyway, we're coming back, and right there in Shelby, that overpass that goes to Canada, that truck pass. Right there, just before we got to it, there's another overpass there. I don't know where it goes, someplace in, across the road in Shelby. But was between those two overpasses, and looked up, and here's that blimp going over, and at the time, my husband didn't believe me, and about all these, you know, this is like probably the first time he ever seen when I told him all these stories about the other ones prior, you know, that I didn't believe me at all. And so I'm all, I said, if you don't, if there's no flying saucers with that right there, and it was just, I'd say, where's the telephone poles? It was going probably about a foot over the top of them. So how come, you know, and it's a foot above those trucks, those semis, and how come, you know, they don't panic and say, oh, bomb's coming, because, you know, that's what I thought. Thought it, you know, because I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a big bomb getting nuked. Because it just come past, and it just went straight towards like Horn Lake. Yeah.
Geez, but it looked like a cigar or a blimp, huh?
Yeah, it looked. It was just like a silver top of like a silver can or.
Yeah.
Chrome, really, really shiny chrome, just like a great big silver blimp. About 25 feet long. Oh.
No sound or nothing, huh?
No sound, no nothing, just straight through. Yeah, and then nobody, we turned on the radio to see if anybody, you know, called the cops or told somebody who cared. We didn't know who to call either, but no, nothing came on the radio or nothing, and I say, hey, did you see that? I don't know if we're the only ones that seen it, or there's something special about us, why we get to see them.
So I was gonna ask you, why do you think they always show up? Because there's plenty of folks that haven't seen them. There's plenty of folks that have seen them. I wonder why that is.
I know, me too. That's what I wonder. Oh, yeah, this one time, too, in my first marriage. We were fighting and already fighting. Anyway, end up knocking me out, my old man, and end up knocking me out down by the river, and he just drove away. He was all drunk and left me, and I was pregnant at the time, and left me there laying on the ground. And here's up at that house. It's probably about 100, 150 feet away, and he stopped there and was going to go in that house and got on the porch and looked down, and he seen an old lady with a buckskin dress. And she picked me up off of that ground, you know, just like a baby. She come from that water, and she walked over to that tent and picked me up just like a baby in her arms and carried me in that tent where we were staying. That's where I woke up the next morning. Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, the old man swore up and down that he'd never hit me again, which he never, you know. We just argued and fought after that.
Oh, sweet to pee. Or okay to pee, probably, you know. Water spirits.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she was an old lady in a pure white buckskin dress.
Yeah, and those water spirits, jeez.
Must have really pitied me. About that time I had a broken tailbone. I think I was carrying my second child at the time.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Yeah. So that was, I've seen that ghost.
How about that whole thing that took place in Oregon?
Oh yeah, that's right. When I was up there, and I was a foster care parent for drug and alcohol babies, and anyway, I had to find out when I first got there. I just only just had a home for me and my kids. But I had to get a bigger home because they placed kids in my home to take care of. And anyway, went looking for a home, and up there on 25th Street in Salem, Oregon, I was kind of in the alley. It was like an old, like bridal, like a long time ago, where they did horseshoeing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Horses, shawing them, and ironwork and everything, but that's what that place was. Like, way before, you know, they turned it into a house.
Yeah.
But anyway, went to rent that house. This woman come and was going to show us it. And when you open the front door, the stairs go straight up, and that's where the bedrooms are. Kitchen off to the left, and to the right is another bedroom there. Anyway, to open that door, and I look straight up, and when I look straight up, I seen a nun, a old style nun, and she had a silver wireframe glasses, kind of pungy nun, and she was crying. She was crying, and her, she kind of had like red lipstick on, but her lipstick was kind of dripping from her, like the right side of her mouth when she was crying. And she went off into the left-hand side of the bedroom. And at the time, you know, we needed home, and, you know, I just think this way, you know, while the live people are the people that could kill you, you know, it's not the dead people, and if that's a nun that's staying here, oh, we're more blessed, you know.
Yeah.
She's sad right now, but maybe that's why she's sad. She probably needs somebody to be here with her. She don't like being here by herself or something, but, you know, that's what I was thinking. So we end up moving in there, and yeah, and then those kids, there was a little closet in there, kind of crawl space thing that went, I don't know where it went. But anyway, that those kids kept saying that there was a guy come out of there all the time, be scared, and start screaming and crying in the middle of the night. So I had, when my brother came, I had him crawl in there. I could see his feet, and that's all I could see, you know, and trying to watch him crawl back there, and then next thing, he's coming back really fast, and he couldn't even talk, he wouldn't talk about it, he never did ever say nothing, what he'd seen back there, or what was in there, nothing, he just said, just lock it up. And
owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Don't let those kids in there. Don't let them go back there. That's it. We just put a little padlock on it and didn't let those kids go in there no more. I said, I don't know. We ended up leaving out of that place.
How about that other time when you were helping out your niece?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was closer to about a year ago now. But anyway, she's been kind of out on the streets and went off the deep end. But anyway, I'd let her come and stay here because she was on the streets, you know. Let her come and stay and bring her to church and everything. And geez, I really thought she'd be doing good, but I thought, you know, while I know this mixture of roots, and it'll tell me, you know, if she's doing good or not, because if you mix them together, then the ones that's doing bad, they'll just start pouring with sweat and heat up, and they, you know, they just can't stand being really hot. So anyway, I made my smudge, put it out there, and I didn't know if she'd, you know, smudge or not. It was into her Bible, so, oh, Auntie, thank you, and geez, I was sitting there, I was just looking at her at the corner of my eye, but I, you know, playing like I was watching TV, and geez, she smudged with that stuff that I put there, and oh, she just, like, after she smudged her whole body and stuff, and then she just like she couldn't breathe, kind of making sounds like that, and she just put both hands on the table, and oh, she looked at me, and the way she was looking at me was, oh my gosh, like a really, I mean, it was like an evil, evil face. Her face just turned really evil and scary. And then she just went out in the shed. And anyway, that night, anyway, you know, and I sleep pretty light all the time. You know, I have ailments and leg cramps and stuff. Anyway, that night, oh my gosh, I swear that if I think she has an entity in her, but I, you know, you could come in the bathroom from the living room and the bedroom, and from my bedroom I could go into the bathroom. So anyway, heard this bunch of crashing and everything, like somebody, like they're drunk or something, falling around in the bathroom, coming, trying to get into the bedroom from the bathroom. And it seemed like I kind of got up, like, you know, sat up and looked, but it looked like I seen her, and she was just all twisted, walking like a crab or something, and she was just going to reach up at the bed at me, and I start saying my Hail Mary and Our Father and Glory Be, and oh, it's just same way, big crashing noise. It's like a big twisted spider just went right back out that way and back into the living room and was normal again. Oh. Yeah, you know that. I don't know, it's just like a scary movie. Oh. Yeah. And I know that wasn't a dream. I know it was. I know I was awake, and I know. Yeah.
Why was she making all that noise?
I don't even know. I don't know what she was doing. Going crazy, or I don't even know.
But how did she look? Her body looked...
She looked all twisted, like, say... Okay, so it's kind of like walking like a crab. Yeah, kind of walking like a crab, and her top half of her body's twisted around, and her legs and her arms, she's walking on her arms and her legs, but her body twisted around and she's looking at me. Yeah. So I hauled her to that casino, and Oh. There she did good. I don't know. I didn't stay. I just thought, well, that's the holiest place I know where to haul her. If there's an entity, they're going to get it out of her. And the father said that. She went through everything it took, you know, that she really did good. She got baptized, she did everything, first sacrament, got confirmed, everything. So she did the whole thing, so she's, yeah, and then she come out, and I don't know what happened to her. She went nuts, and I just told her, well, I don't know, you know, after I seen that she must have been doing something bad, because, you know, why would she all go sweat like that when she smudges with that medicine that tells people that you're doing bad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but anyway, after that, I just had her leave, and won't let her come back around no more. Yeah, I see her. It's sad. She's just bony. Just plumb bony as a skeleton. Yeah, I seen her a couple of days ago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, wish her the best. Hopefully she gets better.
Yeah, that's all she could do. You know, it's a sad and pitiful what they choose to do with their lives nowadays. That drug is so powerful and the entity in it. It's so evil, it's pathetic.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I remember another story you were talking about when you guys had just built a house and some things happened there.
Did what?
You guys had just built a house when you were smaller and...
Oh, yeah. That's when my mother came, when she had all of us kids and she was by herself, a house, and they gave my mother a family. They gave us a family home. Mm-hmm. We all had to build it. Everybody helped each other. There were about 24 home people around here that got blessed with them. But we all had to help and everything anyway. Well, our family, they were just... this mom and 8 girls. So we didn't really know how to do nothing. And the other people's husbands and their boys will come and help at our house and other people's house that were kind of like us. And just help each other out anyway. The last night was going to be inspection the next day. And we mopped our way out of the house, went out the back door. That's where we used to park when they were first building those houses.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we went out the back door, mopped ourselves out of there. And no key. There was nobody there that could even, and nobody had the key but us. So next morning at 8, everybody supposed to show up there. And there we go in our house. It's like somebody opened up the front door and with big muddy boots, about big size, 13, 14, just deliberately walked straight across the floor from the front door all the way to the back. Went black out, and just when we got there, doors are all locked and everything.
These bitches showed up and it was all muddy.
Yeah, there's muddy tracks in there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
And they still didn't. They weren't dry, so it's just like somebody had just went through there, but nobody had a key. How could they go through there when we had the key? And we didn't even get there yet.
I've always said it don't matter if it's an old house or a new house. They don't care. They'll go wherever they want.
Yeah, I believe they can.
You know, unless
sometimes
you have
sometimes in this house I live in right now, I bought a home and it's 100 and I'd say. About 150 years old now. You know, from well, when it was built was 125 years ago. And it's an old house, and every once and again I could smell, you know, like cigar smoke in here. And like somebody, that man that lived here, I remember when I was a little girl, he smoked cigars. Him and his sister lived here. And then the living room, I got double windows right there. Every once in a while there, and on top of the double window there, I just hear somebody like tap on that window right there. Yeah, don't scare me or nothing. I don't feel no way. Yeah, I never did really get scared in this house at all. It's probably because I knew the people that lived here. Yeah.
You know, there was something out at Temedicine that happened to you guys, too. Those cabinet doors opening and closing. What was that all about?
I said it was summertime, and it was a nice summer day.
Mm-hmm.
And we took a walk. There's a big bunch of rocks up on the hill and stuff, and like cliffs.
Mm-hmm.
Took a rock up there, and my kids' grandfather come with us up there. Anyway, we didn't even know that there was graves up there. We walked up there, and he start telling stories about people that were buried up there, but we couldn't see no graves. No, you know, it is the way the graves look nowadays. There was none that we could see, but he was telling us there's a bunch of people buried there. So anyway, after he told us those stories, we come back down. Anyway, we got in the house. I believe my second oldest, he was first one in the house, and his grandpa right behind him. And as soon as he went in the front door and then in the kitchen, you could see the cupboards and everything right there. Well, some of them it was there, and the other cupboards on the other side. So the second born of my children got into that kitchen, and oh, the cupboard door just started opening and closing and slamming and opening and closing and slamming. Oh, we all ran back out, but his grandfather and the little boy, he was just looking up at watching that, but we got scared and ran back out. I was like, oh, because we've seen that Exorcist scary movie that does that. We ran back outside, and here, what happened is, well, the youngest, you know, the second, to the oldest child, he didn't know, you know, he picked something up, he found something shiny there, whatever, and he put it in his pocket, how little kids are, and find something. It must have blew off of one of those graves there from a long time ago. And anyway, after he had to go back up there, his grandfather instructed him to bring it back. You know, a few things he had to do to make those ghosts stay there and not follow him back to our house. And it worked. Yeah. So it's there. They're here. They're really here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you where this house that we're at, too. One night, the dogs, oh my gosh, I got two mean dogs. But Jesus, howling through their nose, and like that death howl when when the animals' owners die, they just whine through their nose, or they know death's around.
Mm-hmm.
They kept doing that. Scared. Get up, and I got mad at them and throwed them outside. And oh, they just ran to the back of the house just crying and scared and whimpering. And I heard noise, you know, because when I was closing the door, I heard noise like somebody hollering coming up the road down, you know, down by the school. I live across the street from a school. I heard somebody coming that way. I'm like a man. So I walk out out my front gate, look down that way to see what's going on. And I see, it looks like a man coming up the street, Levi's and no shirt and no shoes. And so I come back in and I stand by my big window and keep watching, see where that guy's going. But I lock my gate. And anyway, he kind of crouches down. I think, oh my gosh, you must be all on those drugs. Crouches down like a dog and starts jumping around and running around. And he actually jumps over my fence and comes and peeks in that window. And it's muddy, it's raining. And next morning, I run in here. I thought, oh my gosh. And I thought, that guy's really goofy. He's really tripping, or I don't know what the hell's going on with him. I run in here to wake up my husband and tell him, hey, a man jumped over the fence and he's trying to peek in that window, but, you know, I can see his, like, fingers are, I don't know what it was, but anyway, couldn't sleep. I just laid here and everything and waited till morning to come and went out to the gate, and oh my goodness. Well, first I looked at the windowsill there because I seen him when he touched that, and on his fingerprints, here he had sharp, sharp claws like a dog. Mm-hmm. And then out there, we have like a little cheap, pissy, light plyboard, you know, where you step on underneath that little awning. Mm-hmm. And right there, that thing that I thought was a man, there was hoof prints that had crunched in that board, and his hoof prints where he jumped over the fence, you know, he was too heavy and he crunched, left his hoof prints in that board out right by the gate.
Oh,
so shit. From a man to a hoof, and I don't know. Like I said, it looked really scary. I still don't believe what I see and how that could have happened. But I don't know. Yeah, that was really scary, and it. I don't know how, because he was. I just, you know, I was watching him, and I thought, oh, he's acting funny, and he just, like, shift changed. He changed into, I don't know, half horse and half man. Dog or whatever, I don't know.
What do you think that, you've heard the stories about Goatman around there? I mean, what do you, what stories have you heard about that thing?
Oh, yeah, I even hear that in Banada they tore down that great big building there. I heard that he's like, he used to live up in there, you know, they'd find him there. Then they'd find him in culverts up there. I heard even the whole police force chased him up there and flashed on him. Scared the heck out of a lot of those cops there. That's about all that I heard. And I'm lying. There was a big house up there by the graveyard, and that goat man was pounding on her door and trying to get in her house, and she had to call the cops. But she, that lady there, got to see that. That's why the cops first started chasing after this goat man thing, whatever it was. Yeah, and it was right on her porch trying to get in her house. And it was Goatman.
There's a lot of stories about that thing.
Yeah, and it's up like right behind the very new graveyards in that coulee up around in there where it hangs, that entity.
Yeah, people don't know where we're talking about. This is on the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana, the town of Browning. That's what we're talking about. Jeez. You know, I was up there. I went back there, well, during the day, and I was taking pictures of that place. During the day, it don't look too bad, but oh, I bet you at night, it's pretty scary in there. But I was curious, so I drove. There's a road that leads back there, and I stood up on top of that hill. I went down there, too. Took a few pictures inside that tunnel, and I think I went live on TikTok showing people where that tunnel was, and then I got the hell out of there.
Wow.
Yeah, that place is pretty creepy. I mean, just being there and knowing the stories, like where they chased it into that, I think about that. I think,
wow.
Cripe, this place here is pretty darn scary. I got out of there.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, there's another story. I'd like to apologize for all that background noise. I need a studio. I can't wait to get one. I need to just build one. There's too much background noise here where I record. And I can't stop it. If there's not a cat howling in the background, there's a dog barking, there's some electric sound that goes off, or the fridge turns on. I don't know. I just But anyways, I'm doing my best here. But there was a story I wanted you to mention. Well, if you don't mind telling, where your sister had a house out in boarding school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of my sisters, older sisters, she was working down there at the boarding school. And anyway, another one of my family sisters, they came and they went and stayed with her for a couple weeks. They came from Washington. They went down and stayed with her, visiting her. Anyway, this old guy that my other sister brought to my sister's house, he was kind of elder.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd get up early, about 5:30, and back of the kitchen. In the kitchen, there's glass sliding doors that go to the back of the house. So anyway, from the living room, you see her table was sitting right there by the wall there, and you could sit there with a chair. Almost like they could, you know, sit right there and visit everybody from the table to the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he said that there's a old Indian. He gets up at 5:30 in the morning and makes his oatmeal and coffee and makes stuff for everybody else. But anyway, well, first night there, that old Indian, he said he was really cooking and turned around, he heard that glass sliding door open. He said he turned around, the old Indian just looked at him, and he said, then he ran away. He said he didn't even close the door or nothing. He said, wonder, maybe somebody was going to come in here, thought it was a robber. An old guy at that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, he said, a couple days later, went and come and told them about it. And so he slept in that living room anyway. So they'd lock up those glass sliding doors and lock everything up. A couple days later, that same end didn't come again. Open those doors, but this time, that old guy was sitting at the table drinking his coffee. And he wouldn't look at him. He seen him when he come in, you know, at the corner of his eye, but wouldn't look at him. He just act like, you know, like he wasn't there and he didn't know he came in to see what he'd do. And that old Indian just sat down on the other chair that's there by the table. And just kept staring at him and staring at him and staring at him. So Jack said, you know, the old guy, he said, "Well, I wonder if you're hungry." He said, "You want to eat?" So in sign language, you know, he made the sign if that guy was hungry, that Indian guy, if he's hungry, wants to eat. And that guy again got up and ran away again and left the door open again. So next day, he comes back again, same time in the morning. And that day, he eats the oatmeal that he's offered. And he just leaves. And the rest of the 2 weeks that my sister and her friends there, that guy don't come back no more after he feeds him that oatmeal and he eats it.
Oh, but he ate the whole thing, huh?
Yeah, he ate the oatmeal. Yeah, and then he didn't go back. He didn't go back to that table no more. Or go in their house.
Did he say how he looked? Like how he was dressed or anything like that?
Just the old Indian within, like, legging chaps and a little breech cloth and like an old warrior shirt, you know, the warrior shirts they used to wear.
Yeah. Like an old time Indian. That was
a
spirit. Definitely a spirit.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And then, okay, that house there, it's on the corner there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you come down the road at boarding school, okay, right straight ahead of you, they tore that house down. But anyway, that there was a house there, and Douglas has lived in there.
Yeah.
And my goodness sakes, that house was really, really, really badly haunted. Anyway, the guy in there, he ended up blowing his head off in that house. But he kept complaining, wanting a different house, everything. There's all kinds of spirits and everything in there. They all thought he was nuts. But yeah, that house was plumb haunted.
Yeah, I remember that story. It was pretty sad. I knew that guy too.
Yeah.
He was really good to us kids. Jeez.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really sad.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah, those entities could be really powerfully mean and do stuff.
Yeah. Mm. I guess I got another question. Have you ever heard anything about those little people? Or experienced anything with them?
Yeah. That was, I'd say, when I seen him, that would have been probably 80s. Come back from up there. I brought a bunch of foster kids back, you know, to give them, either, you know, place them with their grandparents, aunts, uncles, or whatever. But I brought a whole handful of them back here, and that was my mission. But anyway, a lot of their parents we didn't find and get a hold of. So the kids' grandparents had a home up there in Medicine, good swimming spots that I remembered. So brought all these kids, and we all headed there. And as soon as we got off on the dirt road, I just probably, the kids like to run and stuff, so they'd jump off the car and run in front of the car, and I'd follow them, or they'd run behind the car and try to jump on the trunk and ride and be going slow. But anyway, they all start hollering and chasing after. They said, look, stop. Look at all those monkeys. They look like little red monkeys. So I stopped, and instead of going swimming for the first couple of hours, we're trying to catch those monkeys. they just disappear. They didn't go up in the trees or nothing. We couldn't find them, though. For 2 hours, we searched, and we finally wanted to go swimming. They're scared, so we all went swimming.
Jeez, Bob.
Yeah. But, prior to that, the old folks there where they lived, they were babysitting a couple of kids, and those kids are way older than me. But he was telling the story about that. He said, nobody out there, just him and those two little kids at the time, his grandkids that he was babysitting. And anyway, he said, they come down, he said, went up to the barn, he said, and they come down. Papa, we need some sandwiches. We're going to go up there and have a picnic with our friends. And he said, oh, okay. He said, how many sandwiches you need? He just figured, you know, two, one, because they're just those two kids, a boy and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he made him eat a sandwich. But Papa, there's no, you need to make more because where our friends are up there, and they, you know, they're hungry, they want sandwiches. Well, how much more? And how about four or five? Four or five? So he just thought those kids are hungry, you know, they're really hungry. So he makes those sandwiches for them, and stand and they watch him go back up to the barn. It's kind of on a hill, about 75 yards away from their house.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the sun's just going down, and he's looking there, and there's no animals in or nothing. And looking up there, there those kids are, you know, he sees them when they come out of that barn, and he sees more kids, too. So they're all the same size, and the same size as his kids, and his kids are about 6 and 7, so they're all about that size. And so there was somebody up there. There was kids up there, but there's no kids or, you know, nobody. geez, in fact, I just seen that lady. She's grown up now. I just seen her in Cupcake yesterday. That lady that was having a picnic with those yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's weird how they play with kids sometimes. Like, you know, some of those good ones, they don't even. Kids ain't even scared of them, you know?
Just, yeah. Yeah, my kids is at my kids' uncle's house. Well, my second son, he'd always, right where we see those little people, he'd. And that's where, you know, every morning, because we take all those kids' toys and put them up on Waggy and everything, put them up on the porch and everything. But next morning, the wagon be halfway down that field again, and that'll be the first place when we get out there that my second born would run to.
Hmm.
Yeah, be out there playing with them. Talking and pulling that wagon, must have been giving them a ride. It even put wood in there. Yeah, it would even put wood in that wagon and haul it and unload it. Yeah, I always find that wagon every single day because I get up to bring all the toys up to that house and put them on the porch. That wagon be halfway down that field again. Next morning we go out.
Gee, that's crazy.
Sometimes we wouldn't leave there for until about 12 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have our lights on, picking up those toys and putting them away. Yeah, and because there was horses, they didn't, and cows out there, they didn't want them stepping on them. And, yeah. That was a rule of thumb.
Yeah. Well, geez, I guess we'll end there, huh?
Okay, it was nice talking to you, and I'm sure glad that I got to speak.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to have you on.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We'll see ya.
We'll see ya.
Yeah, that guest had really good stories, and I'm sure glad that she came on. You know, again, if you guys know anybody that's willing to share stories, please send them my way. You know, you can email me at lodgetales@gmail.com. You can go to the website, lodgetales.com, and send a message there. I really appreciate it. The people that have written in, I appreciate your emails. And someday when I get enough of them together, I'm going to read them. You know, we'll do one kind of special episode with just all the people that submitted stories. That would be fun to do. And, you know, how I approach that is, I mean, how I would approach that, because I've never done it yet, is I would read the story over and over and get really familiar with that story, and then leave a copy of the story in front of me just as a guide, but then tell the story, right? So, not that I'm sitting there reading it, because I think your voice, you know, when someone reads, you can just tell that they're reading. That's what I don't want. I want to just be able to tell the story from my own memory, because I'm so familiar with the story. So I want to be able to tell those like that. I swear my dog always sighs in here. He always breathes really hard when he's laying there. Every time. Well, everybody say hello to Bullet. Bullet's a really cool dog. I love this guy. But anyways, yeah, just I thank everybody for being here and for listening. I really appreciate you all of you. And one guy on here I'd like to say hello to is a username Grouse Whisperer. He's one of the subscribers on YouTube. I'd just like to say, hey, what's up, buddy? I know you had a recent change in your professional life, and I wish you all the best. I hope you continue to succeed in your life in the new profession you've chosen, and I wish you all the best. All right, folks. Until next time.